Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Praise God. So, with that said, let's go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus, Have Your Way. Jesus, have your way. Saints of God, as I went before the Lord this week, we see everything that's taking place in this world. We see it's chaotic at times, but we also see God working on the other side of the fence. God is truly working, and I believe He's pouring out His Spirit. He's pouring out His Spirit like no other way. I really believe that. Many ministries, matter of fact, we went to a small little revival, about maybe 20 people there. It was Sister Yolanda's nephew, Joaquin Orozco, coming down and visiting from Arizona. You walked in and you felt the presence of God in this little church. And so God is in many places. He's pouring out His Spirit. But then we see the culture and we see the enemy at work. We see what the enemy wants to do. He wants to infiltrate, first of all, he wants to infiltrate the church. If the enemy can sneak into the church, then he can somehow sway the church to do things that he wants to do and cause a lot of deception. Jesus called the devil the liar and the father of lies. And so his whole created being when he fell was to bring deception to mankind. And since the fall in the garden, that's all he has been doing. He's been lying and lying and lying. And so, but this morning's scriptures and this morning's teaching is Jesus, have your way, God. Meaning, as a born-again believer, as us who are the church, we need to understand that God is leading and guiding us no matter what situation we face. And how many of you have faced many trials so far as a believer? And how about before you believed? Oh, come on. God delivered us out of dark places. Places that we have a memory of, but we will never go back to that place because we've been changed from the inside out. Can I get amen? And so we're mighty, 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 mighty thankful to what God is doing. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 23 through 27. And it reads, "Now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are what? Perishing. And verse 26. But he said to them, why are you fearful? And that's the question that we should take notice in the times that we live in. Why are you fearful, all ye of little faith? Now, this scene takes place. The disciples are in this small little boat. And we've seen those boats in Jerusalem when we toured the place. It's right in the Sea of Galilee, and they have a replica and some pieces that they dug up, and they rebuilt a boat, and it's like in a museum when you go in. And you can see how this thing was built. You could fit probably about 15 people in this boat. That's about it. But it wasn't like the boats like we see today. It didn't have a cabin. It didn't have a place where you could go down in the second tier and go to sleep. No, they were all in this boat. And when the storm hit, We all been to Israel. We've been to that place. Remember when that storm hit? Yeah. And it looked like this body of lake. It looked like there was tidal waves. It looked so fierce. And so, man, you don't want to be in that water. Because those boats would just topside and flip over. And now many of them probably drowned out there. Because that water's deep. It's a deep lake. And so they were fearful. But Jesus said, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Listen, they had to come to a grip and an understanding that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who spoke the world into existence, who is God Almighty, he was 100% man, 100% God at the same time, was in the boat with them. And you have to come to an understanding that God is in your boat. Hallelujah. He's in your home. He's in your life. He's in the life of your children. Can I get amen? Amen. And God is doing something mighty. Look at this. Then he arose and rebuked the winds. Hallelujah. Let me just share this. Last Wednesday, during our prayer meeting, I had a doctor's appointment earlier that day. And I came to the saints, they prayed for me. But this mean old scuzzy doctor came in and he sat me down. He goes, "You got prostate cancer and we need to take other tests to see how we're going to deal with it." I said, "Okay." And listen, when he said that, I looked at him, I go, okay, God. I had no fear at all. I had no fear at all. And his face, man, almost came in like he was a sour-looking guy. I mean, just no joy in him. I said, "Okay, sir, go ahead and do your probe and do all that." You know, so I took two tests called a blood test, PSA. It's called free PSA and then a regular PSA. I did all that stuff. And so yesterday, the doctor called me. Not him, his nurse. "We'd like to see you in 6 months because we didn't find anything." When I was walking out of that doctor's, I said, "God, rebuke this storm. I'm not going to receive that." I came home and told Sister Yolanda, she goes, "We're not receiving that." And we prayed right away. We rebuked that spirit. Bible says, whose report are you going to believe? I'd rather believe the report of the Lord. Can I amen? The report of the Lord says, "I'm going to live." Hallelujah. That it ain't time yet for me to check out. Can I get amen? God has much more for you and me. And don't believe what the enemy will try to do. Oh, he'll try to scare the living daylights out of you, to throw in the towel, to retreat, to back up. But look what Jesus said. Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was what? A great calm. So then they marveled and said, "Who can be that, though even the winds and the sea obey him?" So we're going to look at some biblical principles here. Is that if we're truly going to have, Jesus said, have your way, God. So if we're going to allow him to have his way in our life, then there are some steps that we take as believers. The unbelieving world won't have a clue what we're going to talk about. But as believers, this is for our good. This is what he does in us and through us. This is where you have to come to an understanding. God, have your way in me. God, I surrender all. Here I am, God. Use me. How many of you want to be used by God? Okay. So allow the principles and allow God to have his way with you. So number one, what takes place when we encounter God as believers? Number one, cleansing. He wants to cleanse us. And he wants to cleanse us spiritually. Okay? Spiritually. And what's the cleansing for? Right up here. To get our attention. Say, hello. Yeah. And see, we're going to find out that it's the Spirit and the Word that cleanses us. Amen? So King David understood this. Look at this in Psalms 119, 9:6. How can a man look at this? How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not what? Sin against you. That's the key. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your what? Statutes. Praise God. Your statutes. See, it's the word of God. When you find out how the word operates in your life, guess what? Now you can gravitate it. You can apply it. You can say, oh God, this is what pleases you. Now, look at this in verse 13. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I rejoice in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will what? Not forget your word. So that's what God is looking for us as believers. When we say, Jesus, have your way, God, God is saying, okay, then believe what I have written for you. Receive it and walk in my ways, and you will be a blessed people. How many of you want to be blessed? Amen. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. If we start learning how to do it his way, our life will be enriched and blessed in the middle of chaos. In the midst of chaotic situations in the world. Look how divided our whole nation is. But God, hallelujah, is our peace. He's our Prince of Peace. Can I get an amen? Now, let's go to 1 John. Look at this, what it says here. 1 John 1, 5 through 10. This is the message which you have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. So when we read this topic, Jesus, have your way, God, guess what? There's no darkness in him. Can I get amen? If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Wow. Didn't say you weren't a believer. It says that you're not walking in truth. If you choose to walk the opposite, you're not walking in the truth. So we are compelled, we are admonished by God to walk in the light, walk in the truth. Guess what? Because when you're walking in the light, there's no room for darkness. Can I get amen? Amen? Look at this. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, what? Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Not some sin, all sin. Aren't you so blessed that he took care of our sin? Praise God. Now look at this. Verse 8. Yes. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You ever came across somebody, you're sharing the gospel, you know, the Bible says we all have sin. I'm not a sinner. I'm not a sinner. Come on, you know, you've been there, right? And you have to understand, they know no different, and they know no better. And so you just got to share and plant and water, but allow God to give the increase. You can't do this. You can't pull them by the ear and bring them to the cross. Can I get amen? It don't work that way. You just love them and say, okay, look at this. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth that's not in us. Now, this is why God has a better way and a better plan for us, right? If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us. Here we go. Of all, say that with me, all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him who? A liar, and the truth is not in us. Wow. And look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church right up here. Look at this in 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This is what I love about God. He gives us an opportunity to get it right. Aren't you so blessed that he doesn't just crush us? Oh, look at you, man. I'm tired of this. I'm just going to do away with you. No. He works with us, don't he? Listen, he already knew us before he saved us. He knew that we would struggle even as believers. But this is why we have ammunition now. We have power. We have the Holy Spirit. We got the Word of God. So now we can choose the better life. And that's to walk in the truth. And to love Him. Okay. So cleansing, number one. That's a great principle to have if we're going to allow Jesus to have His way with us. Number two, He's looking for companionship. You know, God wants, He's looking for companionship from you. When's the last time you just shut everything off and it's just you and you talking to God and telling Him, God, I love You. I thank You for my life. Thank You for my family. Thank You for my children, those of you that do. Thank You for my parents that are still alive. God's looking for that intimacy. You see, here's the thing. God desires that we walk in an intimate relationship with Him. And it has to be intimate. Meaning, He's got to be inside of you, caressing you, loving you, and you're just in awe of Him. And you're telling Him how much you love Him. Listen, the way you tell your spouse, I love you, whether you tell her twice, three times a day, hopefully it's at least once a day. But when you do, God is saying, do you love me as well? Sister Yolanda and I, we've already come to an understanding. We love each other, but guess what? Her and I, we love God more. We love God more. Because we come to that place. See, look what it says right here in 1 Corinthians. God is faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So He's faithful. He's faithful. Oh, that's right. But you know what? Jesus warned us about the cares and the affairs of this world. He said that's the one thing that will run and try to intersect your path with God. Because Mark wrote this, look, in the Word. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the Word. And it becomes unfruitful. You see, if you have other priorities other than God, those things you cannot... See, the Bible says you cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. You're going to love the other or hate the other. So, we've come to a conclusion. No, God, we love You and we want You. And then You allow those things to come into our life according to Your will. Because we can chase the wind and keep chasing the wind and all we got is the wind. You ever try to capture the wind? Huh? Have you ever tried to put the wind in a box? No, it just, the wind's everywhere. It just blows everywhere, right? And sometimes we go after these things in life and it's like the wind blowing. But if we have that intimacy with the Lord and then we desire certain things in our life for our families, for ourselves, He will open up supernatural doors and He will bless you beyond comprehension. The book of King David wrote in the book of Psalms right up here. When I remember You on my bed, I meditate on You in the night watches. Because You have been my help, therefore in the shadow of Your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind You, and Your right hand upholds me. What does it do? It upholds me. Praise God. Praise God. And look at this I found right here. How many remember Enoch? Remember Enoch? And Enoch is mentioned throughout the prophets. He's mentioned out through even Jesus talks about Enoch. Okay? But let me just say this about Enoch. He was so close to God that he never experienced physical death. That's my hope. Can I get an amen over here from the north wing? Yeah. And how about, can I get an amen from the west wing here? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And so, my hope is this, that we get raptured out of here. Can I get an amen? And many believe the rapture could be any time now. Because we're seeing everything culminate. We're seeing all the prophetic things that God had spoken in His Word, that we would see it in our generation. We're seeing it. Do you know all the armies are mounting up now against Israel? Wow. My goodness. We're seeing all the players on stage now. We're seeing our nation divided. We're watching the collapse because they have removed God. In the public school, you can't bring your Bible in no more. You can't pray. You can't even talk about Jesus. But you could bring a Muslim book in. A satanic book. Yeah, they have satanic clubs now. Each, like, I know they do. Even when my son was there. Right next door to his class. He graduated in 2004. So he started a little Bible prayer club. And right next door, because they had this one building where they will allow kids to have their little extracurriculum during lunch. And right next door was a satanic club. Wow. Just imagine that battle. Right next door to you. In the other room. They're helling the old Slewfoot. But look at this. I want to show you this. In Genesis. When Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close, did you catch this? Close fellowship with God for another 300 years. Some of us have just started our relationship with God. Some of us have been walking with God, for me, 34 years, praise God. It's only God's grace. But 300 years. And had other sons and daughters. Enoch lived for 365 years. Wow. You see, back then, mankind was allowed to live that long. Until the flood. Once the flood came, it all changed. And look at this. Walking in close fellowship with God, then one day he disappeared because God took him. What? Disappeared. Gone. Vanished. Praise God. How many of you want to just vanish and be with Him? Amen. Praise God. And none of us want to go through life, you know, all sickly, and then people come visiting you and coming to your bedside. Oh, you've been a good person. We're going to miss you. Oh, God. And we just start crying. And it becomes a sorrowful moment, you know. It's bittersweet. Especially if it's a believer. We know they're going to be with God. But yet you're going to miss them. I want us to all go. Ha, boom. We're out of here. Thank you, God. I want to go like Him. And so, the next biblical principle is conformity. He wants to conform you. Not rule you. Not dictate you. Not make you become a robot. But conform Him. Conform in lot, like how? Right up here. Conforming us to the likeness of His Son. To be more like Jesus. You see, when you become more like Jesus, people are going to know your life, and they're going to know that there's something real. Something good. Something pure. Oh, that's right. And how are they going to see that? They're just going to see the fruit of the Spirit. What's going to emanate out of your life? Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness. I could see Sister Araceli back there. Don't forget, long-suffering. That's right, patience. Some of us don't have patience. Some of us are ready to, Some of us got to hold back our tongues. Oh, God, bridle my tongue. Don't allow those bleepity bleeps to come out, God. Praise God. You see, Paul wrote to the church regarding this. And one of the keys is right up here. Look at this. In Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you. That means God is pleading. Beseech means I'm pleading with you. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies what? A living sacrifice. Holy, accepted to God, which is your reasonable. You know, that's what God is just saying. You know what? Just be Just become like me and watch everything flow in your life. Learn how to be like Jesus. Can I get amen? Look at this. And do not be conformed. That's that word, conformity. Do not be conformed to this world. In other words, don't allow the things of this world attach you and compel you and put a grip on you. Jesus needs to come first in your life. When he becomes number one in your life, listen, let me just share this real quick. Before I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I was baptized in water on a Monday. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost on Sunday. But one of the things that I knew I had to do, because one of the elders was praying for me, and I was in there tearing, hallelujah, thank you, God. And I kept telling everyone, you know, I'm good already. I'm good. No, they go, no, there's more for you. You'll know, because out of your belly, it'll flow. Your tongue will take off, and you're going to be flowing in this love that you can't comprehend. I said, okay. So I went back, you know, just doing it religiously. And then Elder Smith said, Brother Fee, and Brother Felipe was there with me. He goes, Brother Fee, what do you love in life? And he said, I said, I love a lot of things. He goes, family? I go, yeah. There's certain family members I love, and there's some that, you know, I don't know. He goes, okay, that's all right. Then he goes, do you like picnicking or camping? I go, no, not really. And then he goes, do you love sports? And my eyes lit up. Oh, you love sports? He goes, well, what do you love? I go, in this order, boxing and football. And at that time, I just got saved. I was a Charger season ticket holder, right? And I couldn't wait, man. Man, I gotta get going, man. I gotta get going. Yeah, you know, I gotta get with the tailgaters. And he goes, Brother Finn. He goes, why don't you go back into your heart of hearts? And won't you throw that off the throne of your heart and let Jesus sit on your throne of your heart? I never saw it that way. So I went back. Oh God, Jesus, I want you to sit on the throne of my heart. I don't want anything else to interfere, God. And as soon as I said that, Brother Felipe, he didn't grab me by the nap of my neck in the name of, no. He just touched me. Bam! The Holy Ghost fell on me. And man, I couldn't stop weeping. The tears were rolling down and my tongues went, it went like a machine gun all by itself. And here was this thing that I couldn't comprehend. Immediately, the Spirit of God came inside me and I was looking through somebody else's eyes that was in me. And I didn't know what that was until later on they said, That's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came in you. And so when he comes in like that, he never leaves you. Amen. Nor will he forsake you. And he gives you power. He gives you joy unspeakable. He allows you to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You speak the word and all you got to do is speak to people and they'll come to Christ. Because the anointing will be upon you. Man, I'm telling you, I was so lit up and the corners of my mouth were pinned to my ears like this. And I go, man, I can't stop smiling. I can't stop. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost was so birthed in me. I didn't understand it. All I knew was I went home that day, and I must have called up 50 people. Guess what happened to me? And I started sharing with them, and one by one, they were hanging up. One guy said, man, what is he on now? I was high, all right, on the Most High. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I had to share that because there's more. If you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there is much more that God wants to give you. Let me just say that God is liberal in that aspect. He wants to give you as much as you want of Him. If you want that, man, just pick God. I want your power. I want your Spirit to come in me. I want that joy that Pastor Fee is talking about. And that happened 34 years ago. And guess what? He hasn't left me. I still wake up with joy like this. I still wake up. Yeah, that's right. That's why when that doctor said, you got prostate cancer, I go, really? Okay. And I was saying in my mind, let's see what Jesus says about this. Yeah. Because when God is all in you and he's living inside you, there is nothing to fear no more. Not even death. That's right. Not even if your child goes wayward. Even if you got family members that are mixed up, that are lost. Maybe they went to an alternative lifestyle. Maybe they were in drugs and alcohol. You know what? When you got the power of the Holy Ghost, you don't have to physically go out there and get them. You get on your knees and cry out for them. Say, Jesus! Jesus! Save them, God! Lord, tear down those strongholds. When's the last time you asked God to tear down strongholds in your family's lives? The ones that just don't get it. We're not to condemn them. We're to pray for them. Hallelujah. We have the power now to pray and watch God move. God will move mightily because he loves us and he wants to use you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Paul said it best. When he got filled with the Holy Ghost, when he found out that Jesus was the better way, remember, he was the chief persecutor. He wrote to the Philippian church, look at this. Yet indeed I count all things lost. Meaning, everything that he thought was most important to his life, he counted as lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For when I suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through Christ Jesus. Look at this, faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. Look at this now. That I may know him. Say that with me. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's what I received that day. The power of the resurrected Christ in me. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Praise God. Praise God. So Paul got a revelation of who Jesus was. And our message this morning is Jesus, have your way. So if we have the same mind like Paul was given by Christ, then we should desire the same things. Hallelujah. It's not about picking and choosing. It's about saying, God, I want you. I want more of you. I want all of you. Hallelujah. I want you to engulf me, God. And so he told the Ephesian church this. Look at this. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself what? For us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Let me pause right there. When you walk into a room, when you walk into a family outing, when you walk on your job, if you're a school teacher, whatever, when you walk in, you should be a sweet-smelling aroma. There should be a fragrance about you that people are going to say, man, whatever you got, I want it. And it's not your cologne. And it's not your perfume. But there's something about you that's different. And guess what? Now, when they ask that and inquire that, now God has opened up a sliver, a little entrance to share Christ with them. Look at this. But here we go. Look at verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let that even be named among you as fitting for saints. That means in and out of bedrooms, being dirty, being filthy, being covetous. I want more than I have. You want everything that I don't have. And I remember saying it like this. Having a next door neighbor build a huge swimming pool. And go, man, I need to get one too. No, you don't. Just walk over next door and bring them a pie. And say, I love your pool. Oh, he'll share it with you. You go there swimming now. Can I get an amen? Amen. You don't have to get into $150,000 debt. Because that's how much they cost now for a swimming pool. $150,000. Maybe just get a 24-hour fitness club card. Pay $20 a month and go swimming all you want. And guess what? Most of the time, because I'm a realtor and I know I want a pool. The ones that buy a pool, they don't even use it. Look at this. Look at number four. Neither filthiness, look at this, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Our mouth, our attitude should be a thankful people. Yes. But man, if you're ready to cuss one out, chew them up and spit them out, man, we got to put ourselves in check. Man, is that God? Or am I influenced by old Slewfoot? Because Slewfoot is a liar. Can I get amen? And he's headed to hell. Look at verse 5 up here. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Wow. Wow. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. I shared it before, and I know it's tough. There's people in our lives, sometimes you got to just cut them off. You know why? They'll contaminate your spirit. They'll cause you to sin. They'll cause you to do dark things. If God has called you to the light, guess what? Find people of like manner that love God, that'll strengthen you, that'll pray for you. They won't talk about you, but they'll build your life up. Can I get amen? It's all about building your life. Because we once walked in those ways, and guess what? God has brought us now to a different place in our life with people that love Him, and that people will learn to love you. And you learn to love them in a whole different sphere, in a whole different way than the homies back in the day. What's up? What's up? You remember back in the day? It was all about getting high, about cheating, stealing, cursing. Guys would get together. You know what? No. Men get together, and all they want to do is just browse. I won't go there. But look at this. God then says, when you walk in His ways, when you look at and say Jesus is the better way, He comes to comfort you. How many of you need comfort every now and then? Oh, come on. You need comfort. Look at this. God does not always want to just to look at this. God does not always want to just do something in us, but often His ultimate goal is to do something through us. Praise God. Praise God. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Blessed. Say that with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of what? All comfort. Man, when you receive the Holy Ghost, He is comforting you 24/7. When you wake up, when you go to bed, during the day. Hallelujah. Where's Brother Andre? He was driving here and a song came on. And then the Holy Ghost came on him, comforted him, empowered him to lead the worship this morning. Hallelujah. See, when you have intimacy with God, God will just show up unannounced upon you. And man, you know it's Him. And you're going, oh God, I bless you. You go into worship right away. Because He touches your innermost being. You know that only God can touch you that in that place? Your husband, your wife, your children, your friends, your mother, your daughter, they can't touch you in that innermost being. But God lives there. And then He ignites. And you go, oh my goodness. This is what? Wow. Look at this. Who comforts us in all of our tribulation. That means all of our trials. Everything that we go through. He's a God of comfort. That we may be able to what? Comfort those who are in any trouble. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Listen. Many people came alongside your prayers, sister. Yes. Sister Katarina. When you lifted up Carlos. Yes. What did the saints do? They came to comfort him. and comfort his family. And praise God for your family that were such a blessing to open up the door. You see, it starts with God. It starts with God. God, make a way, God, somehow. And I told you the other day, it was your faith. Your faith in Christ. And then guess what? Others heard that prayer. And then others heard the touch. Others said, man, we got to do something. And you guys made that place look like a nice little place for a temporary living. But that was God. That was all God. And let me just say this. All that you guys did for that man and that family, God is going to bless you tenfold. You know why? Because now you also have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. You could tell them, you know what? This was all done because we love God and God loves us. And guess what? God loves you too. And now you can know him personally. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You see, Jesus wants to comfort us. He mentioned that in Matthew. Look at this. Right up here in Matthew. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Jesus is gentle with us. Aren't you so blessed? He's not a slave driver. The devil was a slave driver. Oh, that's right. He wanted you drunk. He wanted you toe up. He wanted you angry. He wanted you to have division. He wanted you to knuckle down. He wanted you to grab a gun and shoot someone. Oh, come on. That's right. That's right. He was a slave driver. But Jesus said, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Aren't you so blessed?
Yes.
Come on. Even when God calls you to ministry, his burden is light. And you know what I found out is when I obey that voice of his to do his will, he pours out joy in my heart. He empowers me so that I don't look at it like, oh, man, this is like a task. Oh, man. No. When he touches you and gives you the privilege to operate in his kingdom, you're like a little puppy dog wagging his tail. Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes. Remember Bishop Trout? I remember he preached a sermon and he used a dog, an analogy of a dog, that they're the true worshipers. Your dog is a true worshiper, especially if you have a good relationship with your dog. Every time you come in through that door, they're wagging their tail. They wanna just lick you and woo, master's home. And even if you have to take the paper and chastise them for whatever they did, go to the corner. They'll go to the corner and they'll sit there. And then as soon as they come, they're coming running to you, wagging their tail again. They don't hold nothing against you. They don't hold anger against you. They worship you 24/7. And that's how we need to be with God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We need to have the same little heart like a dog has for its master. We need to say, yes, Lord, love you, God. Yes, God, send me, God, use me, God. Oh, yes, Lord, whatever pleases you, God. Hallelujah, thank you, God. And so his burden is light. And so now, we also, in another principle, if we're going to allow God, hallelujah, have your way, God, in our life, we need to understand this. Convictions. Convictions. You know, we look at the word conviction, and it's like, those of you who've done jail time, you've been convicted of a crime. And I'm sending you to do 5 years. It's a different kind of conviction. This is not a law conviction. This is a conviction of the heart. Look at this. Pain and suffering solidifies your conviction that God is sufficient. He is with you and he will take care of you. So in other words, when we're going through, we have to have the conviction that God is with me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. And though I suffer through certain things, guess what? I'm convinced that He will never leave me nor forsake me. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And we look at these, we look at a scripture back in Deuteronomy when Moses wrote this. And look at this. It says here in Deuteronomy 31, 7 and 8. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and be of good courage. For you must go with the people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it." Now, here's the key right here, number 8. "And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." So a conviction came from Moses to Joshua saying, guess what? He will never leave you nor forsake you. So when you have to come against the Amalekites, when you have to come against all the enemies that will challenge you, you have to have a conviction that God is with you. That He will never leave you nor forsake you. Can I get amen? Amen. And this is why we need to be convinced, no matter what happens in your family life, no matter what happens on your job, no matter what happens, how this world is headed to, we have to have the conviction that God will never leave us nor forsake us, that He will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. If they take away your job and there's now a food line, guess what? God will still feed you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, that's right. God will still shelter you. Oh, thank you, God. You know why? Because He is our all in all. He is the bishop and lover of our soul. He's from everlasting to everlasting. Forever He is God. And we need to be convinced. Can I get amen? Now, Moses wrote this down to Joshua, that God will never leave you nor forsake you. The New Testament, Paul wrote this in Hebrews. Look at this. In Hebrews 13, 5 through 6, "Let your conduct be without covetousness." Meaning be satisfied, be content what God has given you. Amen. "And if you desire other things, go to God. Don't try to do it on your own strength." Look at this. "Be content with such things you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake." He's quoting what Moses wrote for Joshua. And now He's quoted it for us. So we may what? Boldly say, "The Lord is my helper." Say that with me. "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" What can man do to you? I ask that question. What can he do? Nothing. He can't do nothing. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Nothing. I don't care how it looks. He can't do nothing. Now, Peter also wrote this. I love Peter. How many love Peter? Remember, he's the one that put his foot in his mouth? He's the one that, remember, he's the one that came to defend Jesus and he cut off that guy's ear? And Jesus said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Put that sword down. It don't go that way." And Jesus had to pick up that ear and put it back on him. And it was whole. But this same Peter, when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he was bold now. Oh, man. He had the power of the Holy Ghost. He preached the first sermon. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." You remember that on the day of Pentecost. Now, he wrote this, though, in 1 Peter 3. Look at this. Yes. "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good?" This is why we need to walk with God, because He is good. Say that with me. Because He is good. And so if we're walking with God because He is good, guess what? Then who will harm you? But if we're walking with the devil, look out for a greater fall. Can I get amen? He'll backstab you in a moment. He'll expose you. You think you're doing stuff in the dark? He will expose you and cause shame to come to you. And then you're going to run from, then you'll run from God. And yet God is saying, "Come back. Let me restore you." Old Slewfoot got a hold of you again. Look at this. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Don't be afraid. Can I get amen? Don't be afraid of what people could say, what old Slewfoot wants to do in your life. Even when a doctor says you got prostate cancer. I said, no. God didn't say that. You said it. Look at this. But, here's the key. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Okay, sanctify means being set apart for God. Being set apart for God, okay? In other words, okay, God, I set myself apart so that you can use me now. Use me in mighty ways, God. So sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Why does he say in your heart? Not in your life, not in your family, not in your job. He says sanctify the Lord God in your heart because now there's no other room for anything else to get in there. Because God now has set up camp in your heart. Look at this. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Let me pause right there. Has anyone asked you, why do you believe? Can you explain the gospel to them? Can you tell them effectively, this is why I believe. This is why I'm a believer. Can you share enough or do you know enough to lead them to the cross? If not, see me. It's real simple. It's very simple. But know the hope that lives within you. Having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. God will put them in the shame. Oh, yes. God will put them in the shame. Look at this. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So I'd rather suffer for God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Praise God. So now, if we're looking, once again, Jesus, have your way, oh God, then we have to allow this to take place. And this is one of the toughest things, is this. Allow God to change you. Yes. Allow God to change you. Now, we're going to quickly look at the story of Paul. He was Saul of Tarsus. He was an evildoer. This guy, he was the first, what do you call it? Drive-by. House invasion kind of guy. They go house to house and pull Christians right out. And throw them in the fire. They would throw them in the gladiator rings and put the lions to them. Many believers during this time were martyred for the cause of Christ. And guess who spearheaded the whole thing? Saul of Tarsus. My goodness. Let me just say this. In this place right now we're in, North Wing, West Wing, many of us were Saul of Tarsus. Oh, that's right. For me, I shared it on Wednesday night. I was very prejudiced. Before I got saved, there were certain races that I hated them until God saved me. And when he saved me, he poured in love upon my heart I could not comprehend, and then I started loving everyone because of the power of God. But look at this story right here. Look at this. Look at Saul of Tarsus. The guy was a brute. He deserved death. God deserved to stamp out his life. But look at God having mercy. Say that with me. Mercy.
Mercy.
Say that one more time. Mercy.
Mercy.
God showed us mercy and showed this man mercy. Look at this right up here. Look at this. Paul is a great example of one who changed when God got his attention on the road to Damascus. He was on his way to Damascus to kill thousands of Christians. This guy was on a mission and didn't know that his life was going to be interrupted. And it's going to be interrupted by God. He's going to say, excuse me. Let's read the story here. Look at this. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from them to the synagogues of Damascus, so that he, what? That if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So the believers were called the way back then. Praise God. Look at verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. Back then, a goad was a hard place. It was like a wall. And if you kicked it with your foot, you would just crush your toes. He goes, that's what you're doing, because you're not going anywhere from this point on. Look at this in verse 6. And so he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Notice a paradigm change happened. He's hearing a voice coming from heaven, loud voice. And he's saying, Lord, now, would you be scared if you were in a park and God spoke to you from heaven loudly? And you don't see no megaphone. You don't see a speaker. You're not in an outreach. He's just speaking to you from heaven. Wow, that would freak me out, wouldn't it? I think I would fall on my face. God, look at this. What, Lord, what do you want to do with me? And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Look at verse 7 here. And the man who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Even the man that was with him heard the voice. God allowed others to hear that voice too, not just him. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight. God blinded his eyes. And he neither ate nor drank. That's what you call a blind 3-day fast. That's fasting like this in darkness. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so, when he got saved, and then later on, we read the story, he got baptized. There were believers that were fearful of him. Wait a minute. That's the guy that threw us in prison. That's the guy that's looking for us. But what Paul allowed God to do was this. Sanctification. Hallelujah. Look at this. We need to learn to be set apart from culture and walk close with God. That's the key for you and I. If we're going to achieve anything on this world, if we're going to obtain anything from this world, it needs to be a good report from the Lord. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because when we see him face to face, this is the one thing I want to hear from him. I don't want to hear anything other than this. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen. That's all that matters. Amen. If I came in there, hallelujah, and I'm coming in there with a smoke tail, meaning, man, I just made it in. That's good enough for me. If he says, you made it, and now I want you right here at this post, at this gate, that's good enough for me. Can I get amen?
Amen.
The last place we want to be is thrown into hell, a place of torment, where the devil and all his fallen angels and all unbelievers who refuse the grace of God are tossed in there too. You know, God did not create hell for mankind. Did you know that men and women, they choose to go there on their own?
Yeah.
It was their choice. God didn't make us like robots. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Thank you, God. Look at this. Look at John wrote this. And Jesus said it best. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them. It means set them apart. Sanctify them by your truth, for your word is truth. Everything in the word of God is true. Can I get amen?
Amen.
As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, meaning God says, Jesus, I set myself apart, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. Can I get amen? And so, Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church and wrote this in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. How do we quench the Spirit? Capital S, Holy Spirit. By disobeying Him. By doing lustful things, deceitful things, lying, cheating, mocking, cursing someone out. We quench the Spirit. And the last thing I want the joy of the Lord to remain in here. Can I get amen? It says, do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Whatever that evil is, or whatever form it is in your mind, refrain from it the best way you know how. And when it comes to tempt you, bind it and rebuke it. Say, God, I'm not entertaining that no more. Can I get amen? Amen. You'll have victory. If you give it to God, you'll have victory. He'll take it from you. Look at this. Now, may the God of peace Himself sanctify you what? Completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Praise God. Praise God. And Peter said it best right up here. Look at this. And he, look at this. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be always ready to give a defense. We read that scripture, but we want to just reiterate it. Now, we're coming in to our last principle. Okay, so we learned that sanctification is being set apart. What? For the use. For the use of God. Now, we look at this last one. It's called holiness. 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 What does that mean? Holiness. Because we always hear the be holy for I am holy. Well, so what's the difference between sanctification and holiness? Okay, so sanctification is setting yourself apart for the use of God. Okay? Holiness is sanctifying God in your heart. Because you could do the work of the ministry and God's not even in your heart. You're just doing it to do it. Oh, I've been called to this ministry, so I'm going to just work the field here. And, I'm getting tired of greeting and I'm getting tired of announcements. I'm getting tired of, you know, of Sunday school. I'm getting, you know, wait a minute. If God is not sanctified in your heart, you cannot do these things. So it starts with, okay, God, I'm gonna sanctify myself to be used by you, but now I'm gonna sanctify you in my heart. So that God, there's nothing in my heart to interfere on what you want to do with me. Can I get amen? Amen. Praise God. Look what it says here in the Word. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of what?
Holiness.
Having Jesus living in your heart, there's something that's beautiful. And guess what? You know it's there, and people will eventually see the beautiness of God living through you. Look at this, right up here. Last verse of scripture, and then we're closing. Hebrews 12:12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people, and what? Holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Wow. You see, if He's not sanctified in your heart, you're never going to see Him. All you're going to see is work, play, family. I'm in ministry. I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here to give a hand. But if he's sanctified in your heart, the holiness of God permeates through your life. And now everything that you get involved in, whether it's ministry, at home, your relationships, your children, becomes so profound because God is in the midst of your life. And wherever you walk into, the presence of God, the grace of God, the anointing of God, hallelujah, is there with you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you, God. Lord, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for being a blessing to each and every one of us. And Lord, I pray, God, that many of us would want more of you and less of me. God, help us, Lord, through our struggles. Help us with our family, God. Help us on our jobs. Help us, oh God, strengthen the things that need to be strengthened and fortify the things that are strong already. But those areas of weakness, those areas that we fall short, God, help us, God. We just read, Lord, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We just read, God, that you're for us, not against us. We just heard, God, that you are the best and ultimate choice that we could ever choose in this life and the life to come. Lord, remove the obstacles in our life. Remove the dross. Remove the things that hinder us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, those of us that are struggling with situations of life, Lord, we need victory. We need to be set free. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Oh God, we love you, God, and we love you with our whole heart, soul, and mind. And because we love you, God, we know, God, you have the best for each and every one of us. My prayer, God, is that in the days that we live in, as we just shared right now, you have a better way. There's a better plan. There's a mightier plan. Jesus, have your way, God, in our life. Jesus, have your way, God, in our families. Jesus, have your way, God, on our job, our sphere of influence, all the people that surround our life. And many of us have our own sphere of influence. There's people in my life that you'll probably never meet, and there's people in your life that I'll probably never meet. But whatever your sphere is, oh God, let Jesus have his way. Let Jesus be the lover of your soul. Let Jesus build your life. The enemy wants to tear you down, but God wants to build you up from the inside out. Satan's a liar and the father of them, and we rebuke him right now in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is against him. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Father, we ask God, Lord, that you would move mightily. Mightily, oh God, in the midst of your people, God. And we're going to give this opportunity right now for those who have never given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're watching online, I'm going to ask that you would pray this simple prayer by faith and believe that God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope. And so with all heads bowed, pray this prayer by faith and ask God to come into your life. And he will miraculously change you from the inside out. So pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Come on, is he worthy? Hallelujah. Oh, we bless the name of the Lord.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.